Hello, coffee makers, not coffee takers. He is Dr. Joseph J. Burt Miller Jr., and I am the master of cyber farms, Alfredo B. Nash Jr. We are the host of the Cyber Coffee Hour. We are two cyber experts from Mount Vernon, New York, sharing with you our experiences in this field and also the experience of others so we can all learn, elevate, and ultimately realize that we belong in this space. The views and opinions and thoughts of the Cyber Coffee Hour are not those of our employers, personal, or professional relationships. For today's episode, we are going to discuss the easement of educational requirements for cybersecurity. And today, to help us, we have the Honorable Professor Roger White. How are you doing today?
Hello. Hello. How are you doing? How's everything, guys?
Good, good. Glad to have you on. So Professor Roger, also known as Mr. Fundamentals, loves cybersecurity. He has 25 years of experience in the field, which includes experience as a senior cybersecurity architect and also as a cybersecurity professor and instructor. Professor Roger's love is being a techie nerd, going to cyber conferences throughout the globe and nerding out with other nerds. Professor Roger's mission is to assist over 11,000 people in their transition into a cybersecurity job role. Professor Roger's major accomplishment is that he is the founder of Professor Roger's Cyber Lounge, which is an active community of cybersecurity professionals. Professor Roger, welcome to the Cyber Coffee Hour.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Doc. How's everything?
Welcome. Good, man. Good, good. What's on the docket today? I know it's championship weekend. You know, a couple big games going on. You got any bets or?
No, all my teams are out. The Eagles, Giants, East Coast is out.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
Well, the Bills are still the Bills, right? Are still
no. Bills took a L. Bills are out. So yeah. But it should be good. All right, so but let's go ahead and get, I'm sorry.
Saying Baltimore is still in, right?
Yeah, Baltimore's in. That's the thing about the paint the city purple.
Baltimore. Yeah, exactly. it's gonna be crazy here in a couple hours. But let's go ahead and let's dig into it. So for today, our first article that we're going to discuss is titled White House Moves to Ease Education Requirements for Federal Cyber Contracting Jobs. All right. So just give me one second here. All right. So I'll start with a quick excerpt from the article. So National Cyber Director Harry Coker said on Thursday, back on 11 January 2024, that he's working with the Office of Management and Budget to remove the requirement for four-year degrees for some federal cybersecurity contracting jobs as part of the Biden administration's push to boost hiring of cybersecurity professionals. In his first public remarks since being confirmed as the National Cyber Director in December, Corker said that he is working to improve cybersecurity workers' diversity and eliminate barriers that have historically excluded women and people of color from cybersecurity jobs. We need to make cyber jobs more available and attainable for groups that traditionally haven't been recruited and developed, Coker said in remarks at the Community College of Baltimore County. The only way we can defend the digital systems that lay the foundation for our modern way of life is to be sure that every American and people from every community have a pathway to a cyber-based career. And I'll stop right there and want to hear your thoughts. I'll go to you, Professor. I guess what are the first things that come to your mind hearing that?
Oh, no, that's great. In 2020, there was a movement on the Silicon Valley side. Elon Musk was very vocal, and you know, the rest of his buddies, Silicon buddies, followed, right? Google, Amazon, right, Jeff Bezos and them, they all was vocal on removing the college restrictions and cybersecurity jobs, right? Elon was very vocal in saying colleges don't even hit the mark. So we were kind of wasting our time trying to look for people with college degrees, and they still don't have the skill set to be, you know, and, you know, he was talking about software development and IT and all other things, right?
Right.
So that's good on that end that they removed that, because now from a diversity end, right? First of all, you don't need college to get into IT, right? You haven't, since the inception of IT, there has never been a college to an IT role. There has never been that, right? You know, Doc, you have a PhD. Right. Your PhD didn't guarantee you a job, right?
No.
Yeah, exactly. No. So there's no road or pipeline from college or a bridge to cross from college to IT job like other industries, like doctor, you know, like medicine and law.
And I was just going to bring that up. Like, within the medical field, you do have that pipeline. Yes. Where mm-hmm. you even get matched, like, as I went, you know, going from the college that you attend, and then you get matched, you know, according to you know, which you know, hospital or what have you that you get put in. So yeah, that is established, and I think that's great. But cybersecurity, unfortunately, does not have that sort of pipeline, as you
yeah,
mentioned.
Yeah, yeah. So IT in general don't have that pipeline.
Well, yeah, I'm a piggyback on that, because I'm in a little bit of a gray area, right? They don't have the pipeline, but a lot of the times landing the job requirements mentions having a bachelor's or mentions having an industry certification. So, I mean, even going 20 so years ago, you know, you'll say, hey, this is a help desk role, right? But then the minimum requirement is associate's degree or bachelor's. Now, today, because they don't have that pipeline, it's to say, if there's an easement like this, and the job has the same easement or the requirements are eased as well, then yeah, there is no pipeline. There isn't, right, at this point in time. But I'm a pretty particular product of having the skills to pay the bills, opposed to just being in this realm where we don't have an easement. Like, that's because the easement is allowing us to come in without the degree. We also need to see that in the job requirements. You know, a lot of times, especially in my journey, every requirement I looked at always had an associate's or a bachelor's degree or a certification from industry. So, you know, and that also contributes to why does the requirements have that high lift if there's no pipeline, right? So I want to speak to that too, because I'm a little bit on the fence believing there's an easement when all the job requirements still say I need a bachelor's degree in something. Not so much as IT, but something in general, you know?
Right. Yeah. And especially in IT, colleges are not even equipping or pumping out students that have a better level of technical skills, right, than A+, than an industry cert does. So, you know, that's another issue, right? Like, okay, you went to 4 years of college, but you still can't pass the A+ exam. You know what I mean? So,
right.
Yeah, that goes back years. There's got to be a double dip. I used to say that. It's got to be a double dip where the accredited course passes the industry cert and you take it.
Yeah.
Right.
GU started that trend.
Right.
Right.
Where they take your industry experience, right? Back in the days, they used to call that work experience, right? They'll take your industry experience, which certifications count as that, and they give you college credits. Mm-hmm. So if you do have a certain amount of certs, you could actually get a degree, right? Yeah. Now their degree program integrates the certs. The certs is like the final exam in right. some of their degree programs. So that's great. That's how it should be.
Yep. And right. that should be the placeholder to get into a potential public or private pipeline. I'll just say that.
So right now, certs trump formal education, right? Industry certs trump that, which it always should. In medicine, you know, my dad's a doctor. He got his degree, but he couldn't practice medicine until he got that certification from the state, right? License is called.
I was going to say more like licensure, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. More like license. It's the same thing with lawyers, right? I could get my mm-hmm. law degree, but right. I can't practice law until I get my bar. And the bar is industry, not by collegiate, not by academic. The bar is industry, right?
Right.
So, you know, that kind of thing needs to be set up in technology. Is not that, you know, I'm not going to say who dropped the ball in that, But I know that.
I'll tell you who in a second.
Piss. Google and all of them, they piss and they abandon college. They drop their recs. Google went so far and said, you know what, we will do our own curriculum. And they made their own certification, you know. These vendors have their own certifications because, you know, college is not reaching the bar, unfortunately. So I'm glad that the government saw that and, you know, start to remove it from theirs too.
Yeah. So looking back at this and a couple of things that I pulled from that excerpt. So, yeah, so of course we just touched on, you know, removing the degree requirements. There's also the component of having that diversity and inclusion. Mr. Coker, you know, he emphasized the importance of improving diversity within the workforce. As he said, historically, the field has been dominated by a demographic. So he wants to eliminate those barriers as we always talk about as pertaining, especially within cybersecurity, gatekeeping that's very prevalent, especially if you're talking about for women and also people of color. Align with broader efforts to create more of a, you know, inclusive and a representative workforce. So by doing this, this action is making cyber jobs more accessible. And what the work that administration is doing is trying to address some of these longstanding issues. But like, I see it, you know, constantly, especially if you're talking about, you know, women that are trying to get into the field. I guess my hope is that it there's that enforcement piece. So we have, yes, I know this is still very new. This is more, I think this is just really more of Mr. Coker's plan, what he wants to do. But hopefully as time goes on, and I think this is something that will set up for further discussion as things continue to develop, that we see that enforcement piece, especially when we're talking about even with the degree requirements, because you can have the messaging that come out from a certain agency to say, yes, we're hiring, we're doing XYZ. But then when you go and apply and you're dealing with HR says something different. So hopefully there is that, you know, there's that mesh that there is a connection between the two, that they're both aligned so that there's no disparity between that messaging. But also too, like, I would like to see, you know, at least my hope is that when it comes to diversity and inclusion, that there are real efforts, real enforcement as it pertains to that. Alfredo, I'll go to you. Like, I guess what are your thoughts when it comes to diversity and inclusion?
Not just the diversity and inclusion, because I'm a little on ease. I feel like this is a little close to home, right? I am a byproduct of a program like this. I literally am. Ooh. I have been in the accredited programs. I have been through the designated schools, and I came in without the degree requirement. The most difficult part upon completing with a degree and then now going to without a degree is there's no pipeline. To your point, there needs to be a cohort, and shout out to CCBC because they have this as well. I know that's where this took place.
Yeah, it just started.
Yeah, they put you in a cohort aligned to industry. So I'm in their sustainable horticulture program on the green side. And on the cyber side, the gray side, they have certificates and cohorts to get you aligned to the employers in this county. And actually in the state, because that is also, you know, we got to realize this is a state level thing in Maryland, right? So I'm a product of this on both sides of the fence. The one without the degree, the green side, they put you in a cohort with those employers and say, these students are going to work for you. It's called Ally. Shout out to those who know. They'll put you with the industry and say, hey, we'll bring these students on. And Friday, you get off and go to class. That's the one side without the degree. The side with the degree, if you have a higher degree or lower, a higher requirement to complete the degree, you have to partner with a public agency. And I say that because of our background, Dr. Joseph. You usually go into their workforce immediately while you take the program. So I want to shout out to that too, because that's for somebody who has no experience, right? No degree, and they have a guaranteed job and track into one of the public partner organizations, which we'll cover later. So I'm a byproduct of that. When I completed my master's up in Utica University, there were no public tracks for me. There were no cohorts. So I had to go find it, and I had to go find an organization that will say, well, hey, unfortunately, and this is the dark truth of it, they will say your cybersecurity from this institution doesn't matter. So to our organization's mission. And that's a personal, that hits home because I completed a master's, I had this accreditation, but they weren't aligned properly to this track, to this workforce initiative 5 years ago. So I'm happy in the sense that if the easement is there, just like Dr. Joseph is saying, give me the cohort, give me the pipeline, give me the partner organizations, like they like to say, public and private, that will take me on today. And so I can do the job and I can get to work. You know, so that's definitely a little close to home, but that's my experience with these particular programs. And it can also be a level up, right? No experience, no degree requirement, but guaranteed what they call on the job training is something I haven't heard in years. I haven't heard that in, that has to be like 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah, they cut all those programs. That's why you haven't heard it.
Right. Right. I'm realizing that. And so now you kind of stuck with a degree and have to find a partner organization. So if the degree doesn't matter, show me the partner organizations. Show me where they need to put me to work.
Professor, like, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. No, I like how they're using Baltimore, probably one of the, you know, top 10 as far as education or whatever. You know, on the top 10, right? Mm-hmm. So it's good that they picked Baltimore as their, I guess, their demo or whatever you want to say,
hub,
right?
The hub.
yeah, the first hub in, and they put a lot of money into it, right? Billions of dollars into it. So that's good because they need it the most, right? And also, too, if you can't get labor, then the companies are going to go hire outside, and that does not feed the state,
bingo,
right? Because there's taxes, there's people are working, right? If you hire people from outside, then, you know, the people that are there don't benefit from these companies moving to Baltimore, right? So that's what they're trying to build. They're trying to build a tech hub, which is great, right? But the problem is you build a tech hub and there's no skills. That happened in North Carolina. They built this tech hub and the people there couldn't, you know, they couldn't hire the people there, right? In Raleigh. So they had to go hire from without. So it's a tech hub, yeah, but, you know, nobody's working there. When you go to Raleigh, oh, are you working at Red Hat? No. You working at Cisco? No. Like, what? You 5 blocks down from there, you know, so. So that's the disconnect. And I see they're trying to connect all those dots.
So I have a question then, because I think this may start a trickle down effect or maybe a cascading effect. So once this does get implemented and you know, we start to see this really get going. So you're talking about removing those or easing those educational requirements. So just paint a scenario. So let's say someone doesn't have the degree. They apply for the job with Mr. Coker's plan in place. They apply for a job, they get through, no, like I said, no education requirements. Maybe they have a cert or two, maybe still, let's say A+, right? They get in, they get the job, but now, you know, as they're in the job, you know, they still want to pursue a degree. But now, as you have the job, now I could lean on, you know, the training department with my new job to say, hey, I want to pursue this degree and it's aligned with my duties. So it shouldn't be a problem. I'm not in a cybersecurity role, you know, seeking a culinary degree. Right. You know, it's within my duties. But now the new job that I got without the you know, the education requirements. So that means not having to pull out any student loans, not have to do anything, any of that. Do you think there will be a change though, as far as some of these employers to say, maybe there is a restriction. Okay. We can't be paying for everybody's, you know, degree or no, maybe that's something that they will encourage and hopefully they'll keep that going. But So Professor, I'd say to you, like, what do you think? Do you think there'll be a change then or a shift, you know, as it comes to the landscape of maybe even student loans and also, like, you know, just people being in debt because now they don't have to take that on when they can really lean on the new employer without having to seek that degree first?
Right. And, you know, I always was concerned about getting into debt, college debt, which is what, almost buying a house, right? I have some family members that are six figures in debt, you know, $150,000 in debt, student loans, right? And then they get a $50,000 job. Mm-hmm. What's going on?
Right.
Right? What happened? The numbers, like you told me before, Joseph, the math ain't mapping, right? So, right. So, right? I, I'm glad they're removing that. You shouldn't be in debt for no entry-level job, right?
Right.
Your education shouldn't cost more than what the salary of the job is, right? That's crazy. So I'm glad they're moving that. Now, once I get in, right, I think the government should also make sure that industry is have training dollars for you, because companies try kind of remove that. You know, they need to bring that back. They need to bring, you know, we'll give you education reimbursement to colleges. The federal government and colleges need to work to give companies better pricing, right? Right. So if a company wants to bring their 20 employees to get a college degree, it should be at a discounted rate, right? You know, maybe the federal government subsidizes it through taxes or whatever, right? So that way, they could do more employees, right? So it should be some hand-in-hand collaboration working together, right?
Alfredo?
Yeah, so I'm gonna take it from the other side. I am aware there is that collaboration. Public companies can sign up to reimburse tuitions with these accredited center of excellences. But again, we really need to see when you come into the center. Sure, the green folks that come in, they'll be asked not to relocate from the state of Maryland.
Yes, right.
And then what happens is I haven't been on that same situation. I went to a college that was remote. I move to the particular employer's location while pursuing the college, and they lock you in. And they say, you can't, while we're paying for your school, this is pre-pandemic, obviously, you can't relocate out of that particular state, right? So now that we're in the remote realm, right, the option is to incentivize that person guaranteed employment during that particular field of study, right? We haven't seen that either. So guaranteed, I'm a cybersecurity engineer analyst. My salary is whatever that salary is. Well, now I have a two-year track determined for me, because the road I'm up against is I come with my career track already in the same center of excellence, right? The most new folks are not going to know where they want to go in the career. They should be guaranteed that by these public employers. And I know the federal side might have it, but I'm also saying to the industries that want to pull this talent, sweeten the deal and give me a guaranteed road and track based on your reimbursement requirements. And align that to my salary expectations and two, because what, again, I know you guys may not know, but on the public side, there's a deep, deep game of leveling up and where I should be in that career roadmap. The companies that want to pull this talent should sweeten that deal and guarantee I get there, right? I guarantee that I get there through one of these cohorts and get the certs, get the experience, get the salary adjustment, and the stability is what I'm trying to get at. That's what I'm not seeing today, and that's personally having gone through this accreditation, I haven't seen it in the last 5 years.
So when it comes to national security implications, there is that component as well, because, you know, like I said, the messaging as it comes to cybersecurity, you know, we have X amount of jobs that are unfilled, and is having a real world effect on as how we defend ourselves as far as our cybersecurity posture. So I think Mr. Kogler's emphasis on defending digital systems is crucial to, you know, modern life, because in the case of broader recognition of the national security implications of a strong and diverse cybersecurity workforce. And Alfred, I'll pose this to you. How important do you feel it is to, when we talk about even having a diversity of thought, you know, people with having, you know, coming from different backgrounds, but are able to contribute as far as being part of that cybersecurity team. What are your thoughts on how much of, like, do you feel there's a big impact in, on having, again, that diversity of thought as it pertains to cybersecurity and national security implications?
Oh, absolutely. The diversity of thought is I won't have to triple up, right? We don't have to triple up. We need those juniors and folks to do the critical side of cybersecurity and defending cyber defense, cyber operations, AppSec, you know, development operations, DevSecOps. Those roles are going unanswered. And then because of that lack of diversity of thought of how those parallels exist, the national security need is not being met. Now, again, you tell me more. If we don't have bodies in seats, right, we either have to do the job in the seat, we being the talented individuals on this call with the expertise, 2 and 3 times the requirement, right? And then we don't get a junior, we don't get a mentor, we don't get an apprenticeship to bring them up and say, hey, you fill this development operations role, this analyst role, this engineer role, and that become my successor. They allow me to breathe and to go up in the chain and do a different, a more critical national security job, right? Because you don't want the ranks to kind of peter out without having the skill set. You want to level them up and actually have them replace folks like us, right? And have us move to more critically focused aligned roles to national security, both public and private. Because again, you know, I don't know where that is politically, but I know that job is not being met because of the lack of diversity in thought, because the lack of putting a particular bodies in seats and training them up onto what the cybersecurity need is, the cyber defense need, and how that aligns to the national security need for the whole state of Maryland and the country, to be honest with you.
Right.
So I think that has to flip on its head and say, I need to start training this cohort of folks to get hip to this is what cyber defense looks like, and this is the roadmap towards the national security interests. That's the thought that has to keep come back or be, you know, inclusive of the diversity, especially the workforce diversity.
Right. Professor?
Yeah. And also, too, this is all new, guys. I mean, this.
Exactly.
It's not. I'm sorry.
COVID just got into office in December. So, you know, this is new. This is great. Right. It's going to change the mindset of how we look at just career, especially in IT and cyber, but I think it's going to have a ripple effect in other industries on how the government can really get more involved in shaping the workforce for certain industries, right?
Right. The easement is new. The easement is new, but the cent. Well, we could cover that too. Sorry, I failed to realize.
Yeah, that's what the I'm talking
easement.
About.
Yeah, the easement is new. The center of excellence is not the national. The academic center.
No,
of excellence,
yeah, that's. We understand that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Most definitely.
Right.
So kind of moving down. Back to this article. So again, as we mentioned, yeah. So Coker said his office is working with OMB to reduce those education requirements to. Which has prevented, you know, skilled cybersecurity workers from getting hired into federal contract positions to ease barriers to hiring. So later this year, Coker said the federal government plans to carry out a series of hiring sprints, including recruiting events at places neglected by the federal government in the past to fill open cybersecurity positions.
Makes sense.
And we talked about a little earlier already, Coker pointed out to community colleges like CCBC, designated by the National Security Agency as a center for academic excellence in cybersecurity, as avenues which students can gain technical skills at low or no cost and fill the staggered number of open cybersecurity positions. Now, while the exact number of vacant cybersecurity positions differs among various estimates, Coker said that he believes that there are at least 500,000 open positions in the industry in desperate need of filling when digital systems are increasingly targeted for attack. And I'll stop right there. And Professor, okay. I'll go to you first. Those numbers are quite big. They're quite staggering. I guess, but what comes to mind when you hear that?
Yeah, no, there is, right? Nationwide. Yeah, there's about 500,000 jobs. And just in Baltimore alone is like, what, 40,000 vacant jobs? So between 30 to 40,000 vacant jobs, right? That's a whole community. 40,000 people, you give 40,000 people jobs, that changes a course of a whole town, you know?
Right?
So maybe the city, right? So especially a cyber job where we're high above average starting out, right? The average, only half of America is making $50,000 or more. Only half of America, right? So we start 50, 60. So we're above average in our job. So 40,000 people make it above average, you know, it's a tremendous, you know, movement, right?
That's a life changer for
that's a life changer, right? You're creating a middle class,
right?
So with a guarantee of making six figures when they level up their skills, man, that's financial stability and security for real, all right? So I like this push. I hope that it's not political size. It's not a Biden thing. I hope it's a government thing. You know what I mean? Because Biden's out, right?
Yeah.
Then the Republicans come in and say, "Screw this job, Pratt."
Yeah.
Right. Let's go to war.
Yeah, there is that fear. Yeah.
Yeah. So I hope this is more of a federal thing than a presidential thing, you know, which I think they're making it into.
Yeah, for me, it would have to become a mandate because it is the city of Baltimore. I'll give you guys some metrics, right? We just saw Baltimore become a tech hub, right? Yes. That was their latest news. We just saw a particular, I'll just say the FBI moved to Maryland, right? So that's guaranteed employment there. They're part of the partner. They were moving from Virginia to Maryland. There's still negotiation there, but they're going to relocate their headquarters. You know, we'll try to include a link. Yeah, we'll try to include a link to that. I'll just double backed on that. But so that's a double dip. And then to your point, I love the level up. Now you're saying to me in a particularly, you know, tech hub, diverse city, guaranteed partner agencies, there's openings. Yeah. Now it becomes what we said earlier. Train me aligned to your defensive need. Mm-hmm. That need should be almost competitive enough anywhere you go in the area.
Yeah.
Right. So that level up guarantees your entry level salary, your track to 2 to 3 years experience, and an employment with this partner agency. Well, I didn't even get that. And now I'm trying to say to the scale at which the fact that it's at the community level is a soft spot in my heart, because now do I go and say, let me be an adjunct there? Let me train these guys. You know, like, let me come over there and see if I can, because the adverse of this is being an industry, they can double dip on our experience coming down to the community level. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of get that good mojo of accelerating them, and they see folks in the industry doing it already. That's the part of what I want to emphasize too, and why we kind of, me and Dr. Joseph agreed to this platform, is I want them to see us and know it's possible. Right. So now I see, you know, Professor Roger, Dr. Joseph, and then soon to be adjunct Nash, right? I see them in class every day. You know, like, that's, there's no impact more than that to know that I didn't have even. I didn't see a lot of professionals when I took this journey, right? That looked like us and did the thing, did the level up, did it in our backyard, right? It was more so now I feel the encouragement to be in cybersecurity. And I reinforce that because I see the need to defend Baltimore, right? To defend Maryland. Yes. That pays back to being able to say that it is possible to do that. Right. And it's not just I don't want to harp on just the public side, because, again, there's a whole episode probably about that. But now that it says to the private side, you know, you got to step your game up to get some of this talent, you know, like you said, Red Hat, GE, whatever the case may be. Look, this pool is locked in. You better come get some of this, you know.
Right.
And, you know, there's five work hubs that I guess are the palettes. Right. One in Augusta, one in Phoenix, the other one is in Pittsburgh, right? Those are the five. So, and of course, Baltimore, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, one thing I didn't see him talk about is internship and apprenticeship. That's something is missing in our industry.
It'd probably they got rid of the verbiage, because the apprenticeship signifies on the job training and journeymanship. Right. So I remember that too. Yeah. Yeah. It's going to probably be called a cohort where the industry has to come to this school and pick up the talent or incentivize. Cause I'm speaking from experience here. I'm in the school, right? They're going to probably partner with the school to say, these guys are in our company. We want to send them to this particular program. And the school says back, this is a cohort that we bring in, or some people say technical development program. That's another thing. They have these TDP programs where you come in from, you know, from this particular institute like CCBC or a school that has this accredited academic center of excellence. And then they go and work for that particular employer while they go to class. Right. So it's a reverse. Now they come into this institute and the school aligns to who needs the workforce. And they say, this catalog of folks. So where we came up, it was the other way. We already had a job, right? We already had a job and we had to go back to school. Now, this is the reverse. They come into this institute and the school aligns them to a cohort or TDP, and they go out and find the opportunities for you in the municipal area, right? So I like that. I like starting, I like starting in one of these institutions because they know Baltimore. You know, they know the need. They know where the employers are as well.
Exactly.
So we talked about the as far as NSA's involvement. So the National Centers of Academic Excellence in Cybersecurity, or NCAE-C program, is managed by NSA's National Cryptologic School. So federal partners include, and I thought this was a good list, Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, or CISA, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, or FBI, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, or NIST, National Initiative on Cybersecurity Education, or NICE, the National Science Foundation, or NSF, the Department of Defense Office of the Chief Information Officer, or DOD-CIO, and the United States Cyber Command, or U.S. Cybercom. So NCAE-C program aims to create and manage a collaborative cybersecurity education program with community colleges and universities that establishes standards for cybersecurity curriculum and academic excellence, includes competency development among students and faculty, values, community outreach and leadership in professional development, integrates cybersecurity practice within the institution across academic disciplines, and actively engages in solutions to challenges facing cybersecurity education. So National Cyber Director Harry Koger's initiatives, as outlined here, reflect a comprehensive strategy by the Biden administration to address those challenges in the workforce. So I guess one of the things that I see as a byproduct of that. So we're talking about, Professor, you talk about having those higher paying jobs and the median pay rate for a lot of people starting at 50,000 or at least $50,000 a year. But now we're talking about, we're able to offer up or open up, you know, those high paying jobs, allow more people to have those opportunities to those. And when we talk about specifically cybersecurity positions, this could, and I said this could be a life changer, and I mean that as to say, this can help revitalize communities, because you're talking about, people having, communities having access to these higher paying positions, they're able to infuse that money back into the communities, and you see those communities start to really thrive and develop, fast forward ahead like 10, 20 years, because the community, those people within the community are having access to more of the high paying jobs. They're having better skill, higher skill sets. Like I said, we talk about, when we talk about like remote work, being able to work from home, so if you have that component, people are able to work from home, keep that money within their communities and see it thrive and be able to, and so even educate, having initiatives where they're able to educate their own communities where they are, as opposed to having to, and it's not a knock, but, not having to move to Washington, D.C. or California, Virginia, or things like that. No, right. Yeah. So if you're able to make that type of money and stay where you are and help revitalize your communities, I think that's really big. I think that's a big change. Alfredo, what are your thoughts with that?
I'm gonna take it. Yeah, this is I'm a byproduct of it. So I can't complain. I was in this program 5 years ago. And the doors that it opened up for me. Now, the only caveat that I'm a little salty is about is I had to find the partner organization myself. So I would like to see that list of organizations, not just contractors. Again, I know the contract is about to eat. You know, because when I went through this program on my own time, none of these particular line agencies were open in let's say, just New York, right? I had to go out and find the organization that would accept the accreditation and then backpedal to getting the salary. So now I'm living proof that this does work, but I need to see the pipeline to the organizations that take on this workforce or build it myself. Like I say, so to your point, I moved here to where I am because of programs like this, right? The only thing I can give back to is going to teach these folks that come out of this cohort or potentially showing them that it does work, because I'm accredited by the same program on the cyber defense end, cyber operations end, and the DHS portion of the same program. So my school, I'm out of choice, did this 5 years ago for the graduate program. Now, if we're easing that graduate right. requirement, more opportunity opens up. More people like us can go in and be facilitators of guaranteeing them the skills they need to get into the workforce, for sure. Absolutely. You know, that's minted, because one thing, another thing I want to say too, is we need to see that guarantee from the federal side. Now we have part, you know, we got OCTAs, the contract, the community we know. We need to also see who has the need get behind this program. You know, if you had a breach in the last 5 to 10 years, get aligned to that. If you have people that are in your organization, maybe throw some training dollars like Professor Roger was saying. And also, I would like to see the federal backing of increasing the coverage of the school or the salary, excuse me. Because you're right, it's not just $50,000 for cybersecurity professional, it's higher. So now you come out and you do a cybersecurity defense job, aligned job, that could be a six-figure salary out the gate. With 6 months of experience in a program like this, while you're right. going to it, that is a drastic life change. I can tell you it works. You just have to see that for yourself, and you have to align that to your personal career roadmap. And then for us as experts, because we can't leave the people out in the industry out either, we should reach back into that community and show them the real world experience in the coursework. Show them that whatever these institutions exist, wherever the investment is, show them that this is how the core classes that are offered or whatever the program is going to offer is aligned to a particular role, because we didn't have that. Right? I didn't have that. I had to figure that out for myself. So my way of giving back as a cybersecurity professional is to go to this class and say, hey, you know what? This particular coursework is exactly what I see every day. it's over here at this institution. You know, you should check this out. You should do the, you know, you should do the labs or whatever they have aligned to the program, because that's something I had to build for myself over the years.
So even with that train of thought, do you think that's something that that could even change, like curriculum, even before college? I mean, let's say elementary schools.
Oh, absolutely. With the STEM and everything. Yeah, it's going to level up. It's going to level up to, I would say, I mean, it's already, I hate to say this, but it probably is already happening, right? Because I can't see a science course that doesn't teach online, doesn't teach about the security, safe personal safety, device security. You know, it probably is already happening. I can't guarantee that. But yeah, absolutely. It's going to force it. Particular college graduates, or not even college graduates, those people after high school folks that say, what's the first job that I do, right? Like, it's going to be reinforced from the STEM programs and, you know, the grade schools, elementary schools, all the way up to, I'm guaranteed a track into cybersecurity when I graduate high school, you know?
Right. Yeah. And so that's pretty much, I think this initiative is, I think it is going to have some positive effects once it fully gets implemented. Again, this is still, just keep in mind, this is still in the early stages. This is more of maybe just like a skeletal outline right now. But I am curious to see how this does get implemented. And even, Professor, as you even said, maybe those fears of the political fallout, if, you know, hopefully that is not being politicized, and it is something that is recognized between all parties to say, yeah, this is something good that'll help further the cybersecurity workforce and also fortifying that cybersecurity posture for the United States. So hopefully, yes, it does. We do see it as a mandate, as Fraser, you mentioned earlier. Yeah. So
Can we speak to that a little bit too, Joseph? Like right now, the agencies are holding it on themselves to continue these programs. I'm sorry to cut you real quick. I just realized something. the agencies that we just mentioned are holding these programs on themselves. So it almost sounds like it's federal already to me, and I need you to school me up on this, both of you guys. How would it become more impactful to you if it's a mandate or act, let's say, because we got the CHIPS Act and all these other cybersecurity-derived acts, how can these programs get aligned to something that's already in place for the private sector? Because a lot of companies aren't these agencies, right, that are funding the defense program, research, cyber operations. How do we ensure, like we as cybersecurity professionals, ensure that we get a voice into it becoming something that not so much bleeds into public sector, or excuse me, private sector, but can incentivize them to align to an act or mandate to get these people to work, you know, get these folks that attend these programs in their organizations. Because it sounds like the agencies backing these programs are set. There's a pipeline for them. But what I don't see is if I don't want to work with the federal agency, or if I'm not aware that the opportunity exists, how does it happen in, you know, a public company like a GE or a Red Hat, like we said earlier, or I keep picking on them too, sorry. You know, how does it happen in the private sector that it's aligned to this program and they also get talent from this workforce? That needs to happen politically. We need to probably research on that and see where that lies for the private companies participating in these programs.
Right.
Yeah. The government is stepping in to collaborate with private sector, right? Some of the agencies, Department of Labor, Department of Transportation, Department of Commerce, right? They are, the president said that they have to align with private sector especially for underserved or impoverished communities, right? So the private sector, impoverished communities, they need to collaborate. The government is going to invest to get that ball rolling. And it has been rolling. And a lot of private sector, you know, they have out of the 400,000 jobs, a lot of that is private sector. It's not just government, right? So there's a skill gap on the private side too. So these initiatives will help both sides. I see it helping both sides, because now you have a pool of well-trained workforce, right, that could go either public or private.
Right. No. Yeah. Like I said, I think this is good. And like I said, very interested to see how this develops as time goes on, see the implementation in the months to come. So, yeah, see how this goes.